We'll turn our attention now, though, to Gaelic games. And it's almost time, folks. I'll have the championship draws on Morning Ireland coming up tomorrow and Tuesday. The fixtures will be put up shortly after that. And before we know it, we'll have the inter-county action back. And I'm not sure about you, but I've dearly missed it. Such a staple of our coverage here on Sunday Sport. It'll be really good to have it back. Joined now by Micheál Donoghue and Aoife Sheehan. Micheál, the team's back training tomorrow officially, and I'm sure we're going to get confirmation of those league fixtures coming up in the next few days. Thursday is what I'm hearing. But as a manager yourself who's just freshly out of the game, can you talk us through the logistical challenges in terms of getting everyone back and having such a short period of time to prepare for that season, which is imminent?
Yeah, I think first of all, Darren, I'd echo your sentiment. It's brilliant to have to look forward to have the games coming back, and I'm sure for all the players involved and management teams, it's great to get back to official training next week. And I think the biggest advantage they will have had is having gone through it last year. It's definitely not the same as it has been previous in terms of how you can prepare, and you know, maybe not being able to tog out in dressing rooms and maybe meetings before or after training. And I think that's really hard to deal with for management teams, because you just miss that personal interaction. And
Is it fair to say you get a feel how a player is going?
Yeah, it is. But I think even say for new players coming in and just the way they interact with the squad, and you know, it's very difficult. And I think last year, you know, we commended every team on how they prepared and turned out on each given day and the performance they gave. But like, they were really under hard circumstances, and it is really hard. And you know, especially, you know, I look at Galway and Shane coming in last year, and you know, David Ford, a club man of my own, is involved with them, and I've spoken to him about, like, it is really hard to come in and not being able to have everything that, say, I was accustomed to when I was there.
Yeah, well, Aoife, I might bring you in on that, because in terms of Camogie, there's a lot of new managers in there, and I'm sure that's a massive challenge. What's the challenge they're facing into over the course of the next few weeks?
Yeah, definitely, Darren. Even in my own county, there's a new manager. Pat Ryan is in Dublin. You've Adrian O'Sullivan. Susan Erner is in Offaly. Westmeath is Darren McCormick. But I suppose for Darren and Susan, they've been selectors, so it might be a little bit easier for them. But you know, for new management, and Waterford as well, of course, of Jerick Lyons. But for new managers coming in, I think you get to know what makes players tick as well in the winter, you know, when players are running in the mud and everything else, and you get to see the various personalities emerge. So it'll be difficult for those teams to, you know, hit the ground running. They won't have the, you know, the experiment of the challenge games, of course, the kind of challenge games. And as well as that, the more established teams, they, you know, they know their players. They know their players inside out. They know, you know, where, you know, they can be naming teams and that. And even if you look at the hurling, like, you could nearly name Limerick 1 to 15 at the moment in terms of their hurling team. Whereas, would you be as confident trying to name, you know, the Kilkenny team or who have a few retirements, or the Galway team? So it's definitely a headache, I think, for managers. But for players, you know, they just want to get back. They just really want to get back playing. I think everyone's sick of Zoom at the moment, and they're all Zoomed out. So they want to get back, get into the team environment. And, you know, that's why players play team sports. You know, it's to be around your friends and have, you know, a bit of fun as well at training, and just kind of that camaraderie that comes with it.
Yeah, Aoife, you're not long out of the playing side of things, and I just wonder, you know, the championship and the leagues, it's usually such a drawn out thing in terms of looking forward to it and building up to it. But now that it's upon us, and we won't know the championship draw until tomorrow and the next day, what's it like for the player? What's it like to be a player now facing into this next few weeks? It must be increase the pressure, does it?
I think it does, but once I think the ball will be thrown in championship, the games are going to come so fast that you know, players will just be in it, and they'll be looking forward to each game, you know, as it comes. And I think nobody will ever again take you know, matches for granted after everything, I suppose, everyone has been through in the last few months and the last 12 months really. But yeah, from a player's point of view, I just think that they'll just want to get out there, and they'll just want to you know, get settled with their teammates and just, you know, get into it and know who they're playing, I suppose. At least it'll bring clarity, especially in the hurling and the football, I suppose. The Camogie aren't announced yet, so I presume that'll be coming on track in the next week or so. But yeah, it's just to see, I suppose, what the lie of the land is going to be, really.
Micheál, how important is that clarity in terms of fixtures?
Yeah, I think it just gives them pathway and something to look forward to. I think right now for all the teams, it's just going to be about preparation, and I think that's what the league is going to be about particularly this year, just getting ready for the championship. They're back this week. It'll be 3 weeks before the league commences, and you're straight into a 5-game program over 6 weeks. So I think it's very much right now for the management teams to get every player on the squad up to the same level, and that's going to be their challenge over the next few weeks. And
is the league going to be more of a pre-season competition than the league that we've come to love?
Oh, I think so. I think massively. Like, players right now are up to tomorrow or the coming week, you know, would have been training on their own and given their own schedules, and you know, you'd have the likes of GPS trackers to see what they're doing and all those measurements. But as I said, the biggest thing for the management teams would to get everyone up to the same level. And you know, I'd like to see maybe the GA for the duration of the league coming out and saying there could be like an unlimited substitution number for all the games, so that management are afforded the opportunity to use players. And you know, when you're coming back into training like this, Darren, and everything is coming so quick, you don't want to get players overloaded either, or you know, pick up unnecessary injuries. So I think management teams would avail a lot of using as many players on those league games as possible.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, is it, Aoife? I think traditionally the league is all about kind of unearthing maybe a prospect or two and giving them a chance and see what might come of it by the summer. Do you think that's still an option given the restricted calendar, the restricted leagues?
Yeah, I think so. Just on the substitutions, in the Camogie, I think they're letting you make 7 substitutions in the league. So that will definitely be welcome in terms of, you know, especially, you know, with younger players and new players in the panels, just to see what they're like and where they're at. Look, leagues typically are to find new players and to find. But look, it's such a condensed season again this year. You know, are you going to be, you know, are you going to be given that freedom, or you know, are you going to try and settle your team first? So I suppose, look, that's a headache really for the management, and from players' point of view, then you know, you don't want to be putting that added pressure on players that, you know, are they going to be looking to the sideline and saying, oh, have I blown my shot here? Because look, we're 3 weeks out from championship, or, you know, whatever it is. So it's definitely one to balance. It's definitely a difficult one to juggle. But look, game time, I suppose, is what it's all about. And definitely people will be, you know, putting their hand up in the league and looking to, you know, to put a mark on, you know, the jersey for themselves.
Micheál, this is going to be the first opportunity we're going to get to see the black card in hurling. How are you feeling about that?
I'm going to be interested to see how it goes. I wouldn't have been a huge advocate for it. I think, look, we're very privileged here in Ireland to have hurling. It's probably the fastest field sport game we have. And
look, don't deny it.
There's going to be some interesting conversations starting over the season for it. And I think the inconsistencies of decisions, are they going to be more talking points than the actual offences themselves? So I think that the decision has been made to bring it in, so no matter what I say or Aoife says about it, it's not going to change that today.
What do you think, Aoife?
Sure, look, there was a lot of talking points, I suppose, last year, and there's always talking points around the definition of the tackle in hurling, and I suppose the spare hand has crept in a little bit as well, maybe. But, look, it'll be interesting to see, and there's going to be big talking points when, you know, if it does end up being, you know, a game-defining moment when a black card comes into it. So, look, we'll see how it goes.
And, Micheál, the league is going to be shortened, so we're referees, players, managers, us in the media, we're not going to have too much time to have a look at this, see what works, see what doesn't work ahead of the championship.
Yeah, it's going to be very condensed, but I think the biggest positive for everyone is that it's going to be back up and running, and it's just really looking forward to it. Like, it served up a great championship last year. You know, it got the whole of society through the winter months, and it's back in the summertime, which the players, I'm sure, are delighted about, having the championship run through the summer months. So all to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm interested in, and again, I'll put this one to you, Micheál, in terms of the manager and the role of the manager. You know, there's been huge challenges, hasn't there, in terms of, you know, giving work to players and keeping everyone going, and a lot of this is all done online. You know, there have been cases where teams have been training as groups, and they're well publicised at this stage. But the funny thing here is, despite all this, you know, the setback of COVID, managers are still going to be judged, aren't they, on what their teams do over the course of the next few weeks. And that brings with it massive pressure, I'm sure.
It does, of course it does. And I think when you get involved as a player, as a manager, you know, everyone is so competitive. And I think people must never lose sight that when the player puts on the jersey, he's judged. And depending on the result, the manager is judged. Like, so I think I'm not condoning what went on, but I think, you know, from experiencing it, you can see that you just don't want any of your opposition getting a march or a perceived march on yourself, or in more preparation done before the game start. And look, so
are you basically saying that you understand maybe why some counties have broken the rules?
I can, yeah. Look, I'm being honest. Like, of course I can, yeah. Like I said, I'm not condoning it in any way, shape or form, but it's just such a competitive environment. And as I said, you know, once that ball is thrown in be it hurling, football or camogie, you're going to be judged, and that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah. Aoife, do you think that is the crux of the matter, breaking the rules like that has been to get the edge, and, you know, that maybe the pressure of what's upon them coming down the track?
I think so, and I suppose it's, look, you know, we all know what happened, but it's a bit of variety too. Maybe, you know, teams could, when they were put in pods and all the rest of it, that worked last year so well that maybe that, you know, managers thought that they could do the same this year, whatever. But I suppose, look, it's hard. It's, you know, in all the different championships, there's you know, front runners in all of them. So people are trying to, you know, gain a little bit of a mark or trying to just catch up. So look, I totally can understand as well what happened. It's disappointing and all the rest of it. But you would kind of see where different teams were coming from, I suppose, in it.
Mm. Micheál, the format of the championship is going to remain the same as last winter, but one major difference will be the seasons, as in winter and summer. It's going to be a totally different game this time around again. The ball's going to be bouncing a lot higher. That ground's going to be a lot harder. Is that going to work out better for some teams?
I think so. I think there'll be probably better spectacles and back to more what we're accustomed to. And, you know, there's some teams that regard themselves better hurling teams in summer months. So I'm sure they're going to be delighted that it's back over the summer. But yeah, look, everybody always likes to be involved in the game where the sun is shining and the ground is hard, isn't it?
Mm. That suits your guys down in Limerick, Aoife?
I'd say so, yeah. I hope so, anyway. we're looking forward to that. And I suppose just from the Camogie Championship point of view as well, just hoping that, like, last year was a really, really good advertisement for Camogie. The Championship, it seemed to suit it really well when it was ran off, you know, in a short capacity. So I'm hoping that the same, you know, more the same this year.
And what about major changes maybe have gone under the radar a little in terms of Camogie for the year ahead? Could you take us through some of those, Aoife?
Yeah, so I suppose the big one would be the no hand pass. You can't hand pass the goal anymore. So that used to be a bugbear, I think, for a lot of people watching Camogie. But for a lot of the rules, they're coming more in line with hurling. So you can't drop the hurley when you hand pass. The Anthony Nash rule is after coming in as well. You can't go beyond the 20-metre line for a penalty. You could take a quick indirect free now from the hand if you win a free within your own 45. It has to be the person who was fouled. I'm just trying to think what else. The main thing is, though, the minimal contact.
What about the contact one? The contact is
a
bit shorter.
So it's the short. So but it's not clearly defined, I don't think. So it's minimal contact is allowed, but, you know, I think it's better defined in hurling. And Emma Ryan, even in the Examiner, had a good article on it. And it's something that frustrates me a lot, even just as a player, like that. You know, depending on what referee is refereeing the match, their interpretation of that rule. And look, the contact has been there for a long time in Camogie, but now I suppose it's finally written in the rule book. But I still think that we're going to be talking about, you know, variances of this rule and how it's interpreted by different refs. And, you know, some players are stronger than others. So, I mean, if I get a shoulder from player A one week and from a different player another week, is one of those, because they're a stronger person, going to be a free as opposed to not? So, you know, there's loads of variance in it, but I'm glad that it's come in, but I do think that it could nearly go the same as the hurling, that it's a shoulder and it's 1 foot in the ground, and that would be, I think, welcome more by players.
Well, I can tell you, if at grassroots level, I'm involved with coaching Camogie, and the girls love the physicality. They embrace a good shoulder-to-shoulder challenge, so
they,
I think,
do.
This could only be a good thing.
Yeah, definitely do. So it's just how it's interpreted, Darren, to be honest. So hopefully it will go off without too many hiccups. But
yeah,
it's
the same interpretation concern there in hurling as well, Aoife.
I know very well. Yeah.
But I think it would improve the flow of the game, because we've had, I know last year was the last couple of seasons we've had good finals, but before that we've had some pretty poor camogie finals as well. And, you know, that maybe is down to, you know, the amount of frees being awarded and the referee, the stop-start nature of these games as well.
That's it. And it was really sad to see that that was the talking point coming from the Camogie All-Ireland final day. You know, it wasn't who was winning. It was people, you know, maybe on social media saying, oh, watch on here. What's, you know, what's the ref doing? And that became the talking point. And that's always really disappointing, because I think, like, just in the final last year, like, Galway and Kilkenny served up a really, really good game. It was, you know, it was nail-biting. Went down to that Denise Gall penalty even in the last 3 minutes or whatever, you know. So it was the right things were being talked about for that game. And I do think that's down to the rules. And, you know, the rules that came in, I suppose, during even Kathleen Wood's tenure, she's finished now as the president of the Camogie. And during her time, you'd have to say that it was fairly revolutionary, you know, what's changed in Camogie. And like, even looking back to when I started playing Camogie, I started senior club Camogie when it just went to 15-a-side. So all the changes that have come through, you know, during that time, you know, you used to be able to catch the ball 3 times. And I think it's really coming in line with the hurling rules. And that's really, really welcome. And I think Camogie players definitely welcome that, and as well as management and everyone else involved in the sport, that it can only be good, I suppose, the more in line with hurling it goes.
Yeah, no.
I think for supporters as well, it's when both games are aligned, it's going to be more compelling viewing and more accustomed to what everyone's watching.
Yeah, and again, I think young girls, they're watching the lads play, they're watching their counties, the men play, and they're wondering why they can't do that.
Yeah.
It's not a big part of it.
No,
too.
No, definitely. I think it's a huge plus, and it'll make the championship more exciting as well.
Before we finish up, I want to get both your opinions on who are the teams to watch? Are Limerick the team to be beaten this time, Micheál? Who's going to get close to them?
I think they're definitely the standard bearers. You know, as Aoife said there, it's probably very easy to name their 1 to 15. And, you know, they're a very strong squad. And the, you know, injured players that they had last year are going to be back in contention again this year. So they're going to be strong. But, you know, I think the chasing pack, which will... I still expect Galway to be high up there. Waterford made huge steps under Liam Cahill last year, and Tip, Clare, you know, big strides as well. So the there's probably very little between the chasing pack, and it's just to try and close that gap on Limerick. But, you know, I think on any given day, particularly in a summer championship, Darren, anything can happen.
Yeah, and Aoife, from a Limerick perspective, your own county, would you be wary about anything? Is there any potential trouble that might catch them?
No, I suppose it's just, you know, can other teams counteract the system, and can they kind of pinpoint any weaknesses? Last year, I think they got through the season really, really well, obviously, and winning it is a testament to that. But I suppose, you know, there'll be a lot of videos studied over the winter and analysis and all the rest performed on different players. And, you know, they'll be looking at, are there any potential weaknesses that they can exploit from a Limerick point of view? Hopefully there isn't, obviously, be my own county. But, you know, I'm sure the other counties have been really studied them and looking at, you know, just ways to counteract it. And I think Waterford did really well, you know, last year at certain points. So if they can improve on what they did last year, or other counties can kind of mimic that, then, you know, it'll be a really, really tight championship.
Mm. Before I let you go, I know both your households will welcome the kids returning to action the week after next, Aoife. Relief.
Definitely. The hurling helmet is at the door, and the football boots and soccer balls and whatever else. It'll be great for kids. And I think anyone with small people in their houses are hoping for them to get back, just for, you know, just for their own sanity as well, because kids want to play sport, they want to, you know, to meet their friends, and it's a social and occasion more so than anything else for kids, and it's fun, and it's meeting their friends outside of school really more so than anything, where they can, you know, have fun and have a laugh. So I'm delighted that they'll be heading back soon.
Yeah, Donoghue household, Micheál, are they excited?
Yeah, I'd echo the same sentiments, and I'm sure all the parents would be delighted to get them out of the house for a while.
Micheál Donoghue, Aoife Sheehan, great as always to catch up with both you guys here on Sunday Sport and RT Radio 1, and looking forward to talking to you both as well over the course of the next few weeks as we bring a return to action back onto the airwaves.